Hallelujah. I just want to thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we praise you. We bless you. We lift your name on high. Oh, God, oh, you've been so good to us. You've been so kind. You've been so merciful that we just want to thank you, Lord. We just want to offer praise to you today. We want to exalt your holy name. You're worthy of all of the praise. Thank you, God, for where you brought us from. Thank you for what you're doing right now. And thank you for what you're going to do. Father, we bless you. We give you glory. We give you honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you for the spirit of praise in the house on today. Thank you for your glory, oh God, being revealed in our hearts and our minds. Thank you for your provision, Lord. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your direction. Thank you, God. Oh, nobody like you nowhere in all of the earth. So we give you glory and we give you all the praise, God. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. We kneel before you, God, our maker, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, thank you for allowing us to come together one more time. Thank you for this moment in time right now. God, we thank you for meeting us here today. And, Father, we thank you for the praise. We thank you for the worship. We thank you for the prayers. We thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for who you are. And because of who you are, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Please be seated. Praise the Lord. Amen. Like they used to say, be seated if you can now. You know, sometimes we need to quit planning sometime and let God have his way. Thank you, God. Amen. Somebody said, when I just think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Anybody just grateful for salvation today? Amen. Amen. Knowing that it was the Lord God who called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. Thank you, God. Placed our feet up on a solid rock. Forgave us of our sins and sent us on our way rejoicing. Oh, we bless the Lord today. Amen. Amen. I'm just about toast now. Amen. Amen. That's just how good God is. Thank you, Lord. He meet us where we are. He know what we stand in need of. He know what we need. No wonder the writers say, I will bless the Lord at all times. In the good times, in the hard times, in the bad times, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall what? Continually be in my mouth. Even when I'm so, let's say, even my soul will make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Amen. Is he worthy of the praise?
Amen.
Isn't it a blessing when we can get out of the way and let God have his way? Thank you, Lord. When we can let go of the reins, amen, we can ride along with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. From faith to faith, woo, grace to grace, what a mighty God we serve. Amen. Now listen, I know this is the last day of 2023. I know a whole lot of us already got resolutions in our mind. You know some of the most favorite ones. I'm going to do better. I'm going to get to work on time. I'm going to put the greasy stuff away. You know, I'm going to lose some weight. I'm going to gain some weight. You know, we have all kind of stuff we're going to do. I'm going to be the church on time. I'm going to be the first one there. I'm going to beat the pastor of the church. You know, and it's nothing wrong with resolutions. But you know what? God need to be in the midst of the resolution.
Amen.
Whatever we do in word or deed, we should do all to the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
God, help me to do. Because evidently it's God who's telling me that I need to do better in some areas. And if I, like Sister Sandy quoted Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. If I acknowledge him in my resolutions, guess what? It's going to be all right. Oh, man, praise the Lord. So we thank God today. Well, I got an interesting subject today. Have anyone seen Jesus? I love this time of year. You know, we've experienced Christmas Day, the day that we recognize the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and all of the gifts and all of the fellowship. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. And then here we are on the brink of stepping into 2024, if it be the Lord's will. You know, God is so merciful. I'm telling you, he's merciful even when you are crazy.
That's right.
Even when you didn't know him. Because I never will forget, I didn't even mean to say this, but I never will forget in my unsaved days, New Year's Eve, clock strikes 12. Got the 12-gauge shotgun out, ready to shoot up in the air. And I don't know what I was thinking in my mind at that time. I shot that thing, and it parched my hair. It came that close. I had it here, oh, yeah, boom, and it's like, yikes. That was the grace of God that I didn't blow my head off, because God had a better plan for me. He had a better direction for me. He gave me a clear mind. Thank you, God. And so I give God glory today. He's so worthy. So look at it, Luke 2, 41 through 52. Luke, the physician, the only Gentile writer of the Gospels, he gave us a glimpse into the life of Jesus at one point in time that's nowhere else in the Bible. We always, when we read Matthew and Mark and John, we see where Jesus was born and we see when his ministry started. But Luke kind of takes us to a place to where a question had to be asked, where have anybody seen Jesus? Now listen, when we look around at the world today, we wonder, have anybody seen Jesus? Do any of these folks know Jesus? Remember the old song say, if everybody were like Jesus, what a wonderful world this would be. Amen. Amen. And so looking at this scripture, we take you back to 12 years after the birth of Christ. And you know, Jesus was born to Mary, a virgin conceived by the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, thought about putting her away privately because something was going on that was not cool at the time. But the Lord stepped in right on time. How many know God will step in right on time? Have you ever stepped into your life right on time? You know, sometime even at our lowest point, when it seemed like all hope is gone, God will step in and he'll lift the hung down head. He'll make ways out of no way. So in verse 41, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover, celebrating the Israelites' deliverance from Egypt. It was an ordinance set in place. Amen. And so they were faithful. Thank God for faithful parents. Thank God for God-fearing parents and grandparents. Thank you, God. And so when he was 12 years old, when Jesus was 12 years old, the only place in scripture that gives us a little glimpse in time, and this really kind of stood out to me. And so when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. You know, it's real interesting about it being 12 years old. Because in Judaism, in Hebrew culture, when a young man turns 13, now he becomes a son of the commandments. Now he's stepping into manhood to where now he has to line up with the law. But you know, no, Jesus is always a step ahead of the game. Praise the Lord. Amen. So at 12 years old, thank you, God. It say, verse 20, 43, when they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. Huh. Yeah. You know, so somebody would say, well, they done left their poor child behind. Like the kid that was, you know, on Spirit Airlines here these last few days. 6 years old, flying by himself, end up at the wrong airport. But, you know, I want to let you know, Jesus is not lost. He's never lost He's always where he is supposed to be, and he's everywhere at the same time. He's omnipresent, and thank you, Lord. So Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in there in the company, okay, we got all our bags packed and got the kids all together, and we headed on back home. We didn't enjoy the convocation, as it were. We didn't enjoy the Passover feast. And they went a day's journey, because I looked at it, and between Jerusalem and Galilee was about 91 miles. So can you imagine? Now, y'all remember the Home Alone movies? Yeah. Where the little boy was. That's a whole nother story. They had left him behind. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances and said, have y'all seen Jesus? Maybe not even, have y'all seen a little fellow about this tall, little robe on and some sandals? Have you seen him? So has anyone seen Jesus? So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem. Now, you know how some of us was at. You mean we got to go all the way back? You just wait till I find it. You just wait till I get him back in his car. See? But can you imagine Mary and Joseph? Where is he at? You know, we've gone all the way back over a day's journey. So when they did not find him, they returned all the way back to Jerusalem seeking him. They returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, where did they find him? In the temple. They didn't find him at Starbucks. They didn't find him, you know, at the soccer field. They found him in the temple. 12 years old, 13 is the year to where you become a son of the commandment. But mind you, as we've been hearing and studying all morning here, that from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Oh my, we know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. Jesus, the Word of God. So it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. Listen to what he was doing. Sitting in the midst of the teachers, listen, both listening to them and asking them questions. 12 years old, Jesus, the Son of God, listened to them and said, and asking them some questions. And they was like, 12 years old you'd be, huh? You know, see, and verse 47, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Is anybody astonished today about Jesus, about the Word of God, about the Spirit of God? Of how he moves in our midst, how he moves in our heart and in our mind. Oh, man, I tell you, it's mind-boggling when we just think about the goodness of Jesus. And so all who heard were astonished at his understanding and answers, because he is the Word. He is the one who created them. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, excuse me, that voice there, son, why have you done this to us? So first of all, Mary and Joseph were not negligent. Jesus had planned this, because it tells us right at the beginning, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. Do we understand that everything that God does has purpose? God does nothing because he have nothing else to do. because he want to do some infinite fiddling with stuff. No, no, God has purpose. And we are part of his purpose today. And so all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. His mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? And now mind you, see, some of the pictures you see of Jesus, you know, supposedly silent years, a little boy with a halo around his head and all that. Jesus came to live a perfect life in our place. He came under the guidance of his mother and father, a natural young man. He's fully God, fully man, but he humbled himself. And so we see that your father and I have sought for you anxiously. We've been looking all over for you. You mothers know how it is. If you done lost your child, you got a problem. I'm telling you, this sister here, boy, one day years and years ago, the kids was young. We stopped at Arco to get some gas, and some gangsters approached me, and I'm trying to deal with them, and the kids didn't do what Sandy said, like, be still. They found themselves in the AMPM, and this woman looked around and said, where's my kids? Even the gangster was like, uh-oh. She was anxiously looking for those kids. I didn't know what she was going to do. But thank you, Jesus. So they were amazed, and they sought you anxiously. 49, and listen to what Jesus said. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Why? Can you imagine? Boy, where you been? We've been looking all over for you. He said, why are you looking for me? Isn't it good to remember what God has already done in our lives? Is it good to remember the best we know how of what he's already said to us, what he said to you? I'm talking about personally now. God has a way of speaking to us personally. Why? Because it's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Watch how this unfolds. He said, why did you seek me? Did you not know, mama, daddy? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? I can imagine a pause, a quiet, you know. I mean, the folks in the temple, what's going on here? The mother and the father, what? Jesus, did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Do you know that our father have business for us? Do you all realize that he has some things for us to do? And we must be about our father's business. So he said, I must be about my father's business. Listen to this, verse 50. But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to his mother and father, like children ought to be. But his mother, listen to this. This really touched me. Because this ain't the first time we've heard this. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. You remember when the angel came to her and said, you're going to have a son and you're going to call his name Jesus. And we heard that this son is going to be called Emmanuel, God with us. And she pondered in her heart, how can these things be? But she pondered it in her heart 12 years earlier. See, and then the baby was born where shepherds were glorifying God in the middle of the night. Wise men showing up with the star. There's the baby Jesus that was born. She pondered things in her heart. And now we see here, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart, just like in Luke 2 and 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Are we pondering some things in our heart today? Are we remembering what God has already said to us? And I want somebody to know today, if he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass, because God cannot lie. He's a man that's true to his word. Thank you, Lord. And listen to verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. our perfect example. Thank you, Lord. Have anybody seen Jesus? Well, look, since he is the great I am, from eternity past to eternity future, forever, Jesus had a way of showing himself up in places where folks didn't even know that it was him. There's times in the past where we have what we have what's called a Christophany, with the appearances of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament prior to being born in the manger. Let me just take you to Joshua 5, 13 through 15. The people are ready to conquer the land. They're ready to inherit the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey that God had promised. And see, a lot of time, we have to make sure that we understand the difference between natural and spiritual. Sometimes we work in so much on the natural, we forget the spiritual side. Because sometimes we're trying to deal with some of this natural craziness around us in a natural way, and we're in a no-win situation. But we got to steady ourselves. We got to be still and know that he's God. And so in Joshua 5, you know, Joshua being Moses' successor, he's the one charged with taking the people over into the promised land. And it says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. Oh, thank you, Lord. He's following the direction of God. Have you ever been following what God has told you to do and sometimes it still look like it ain't working? But look, like somebody would say back in the day, hang on in there, baby. Amen. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. And so it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And get this now, stay with me now. Have anybody seen Jesus? Oh, God. I'm now, let's just go back a few thousand years ago. And a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. Sometimes, do you ever try to put yourself in the place of who you're reading about? What your reaction may be? You're on the verge of conquering Jericho. You're trusting God with all your heart. And so a man stood opposite him with his, opposite me on the other side, with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? Joshua's a man of war now. But now you've got, okay, let me read it. So he said, listen what this man with the sword drawn said. No. In short, I'm not saying I'm for you. He said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua, listen to this, because you got to figure out who's talking to you. Now, you can't listen to every voice that's talking to you. Eve wasn't listening to the right voice. So many folks haven't listened to the right voice. But it come to time in the midst of whatever we're going to, we need to, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, they know my voice, and no other voice will they follow. And to show you that Jesus is greater and higher than any angel, than any bishop, than any potentate or whatever, he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua, listen to what he did now. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped. You don't worship angels. You don't worship people. You worship the Lord. And when you know that you're in the presence of the Lord, it's nothing like it. When God meets you in your secret place, when God drills way down inside of you and you know it's nobody but him, you can't help but praise him. You can't help but get your happy face on. You can't help but get your ugly face on. You can't help but get your dance on when you're in the presence of the Lord. He said, so and Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your shoes off. See, there's a holy reverence for God that should be permanent in our hearts. Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did, hey, I haven't read yet where it said that, yeah, I'm for you and I'm against them. You know, I know you're getting ready to go to Jericho, but he said, take your shoes off. See, you know, what? Get yourself in the place where you can hear from me. You can worship me. You can magnify me. You can understand who I am. And when you get in that place, guess what? Everything going to be all right. Because the battle is not ours. The battle belongs to the Lord. Jesus went from 12 years old that his parents thought he was lost, but he was just fulfilling scripture and mystifying the teachers. Then we see him in his ministry, and then we see him hung up on the cross, dying for the sins of the world, a terrible, terrible death. But on that third day morning, he rose again with all power in his hand, had a glorified body, was walking through the walls on folks that was locked up. And all of a sudden, somebody by the name of Thomas, who we put down so much, but there's so many Thomases running around here. But God is greater than any doubt. He's greater than any fear. He's greater than any question we may have. And so Thomas had started hearing, Jesus he's back. We seen him. He's come back from the dead. Thomas said, No. I know. He was crucified on that cross. I know he was put in a tomb. No. I ain't gonna believe until I can see the wounds in his hand and the scar in his side. I ain't believing. I gotta see something. Oh God, but Jesus came in on him. As they were hiding from the authorities. And Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Right. He never did touch. Boy, but when he saw Jesus, when he heard his voice, he said, my God, my Lord, and my God. Oh, it's good to know who your God is. Have anybody seen Jesus? Oh, God, you go over to Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus. Do we see him today? Do you see him in your life? Do you see him in your home? Most of all, do you see him in your heart? Do you see Jesus today? Or do we see the political spectrum? Do we see the carnage that's happening around us? Do we see the ills of the day, or do we see Jesus? He said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Why? For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, may taste death for everyone. Have anybody seen Jesus? Brother David, he had to share a little bit before he read the scripture because it means so much to him, because the man have seen Jesus. Yeah. Oh, thank you, God. Any man be in Christ is a new creature. Yeah. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Church, God has called us for a purpose. We're sitting here in heavenly places for a purpose, to do the will of God and his only. Have anybody seen Jesus? Over in Matthew 25, Jesus said, then as he's ministering, it comes up, and he had let some folks know that, you know, you haven't done this, you haven't done this. And when haven't we? When we ain't done? Okay, but watch what it says here. To those on the right hand, to the righteous, then the righteous will ask him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry? Have anybody seen Jesus? Are you looking for Jesus in the right places? He's not lost. He's always where he's always been. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? See, that's the marching orders for the church. There's some things that Christ have called the church to do. He didn't call us just to sit behind the four walls. He calls us to be examples, to be lights, to be salt to a dark and dying world. He said, when did, and they said, when did we see you a stranger and take you in, Jesus? Or naked and clothe you? I'm reminded of just a couple of weeks ago out at the Motel 6 where all the homeless was. The people were so gracious and grateful to get the clothing and to get the food. And somebody said, has anybody seen Jesus? He said, or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the King will answer. Thank you, Lord God. Jesus Christ will answer. And the King will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, as much as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Have anybody seen Jesus today? Oh, I tell you, every time we need to see him, it's now. It's every time we need to turn our focus toward heaven, it's now. We're living in unprecedented time. Now we have issues, we have trials, we have tribulations, but Jesus Christ the righteous came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Have anybody seen Jesus? Now, if you've seen Jesus, you need to share him with somebody. Right. You know, we sit back, look at what these folks are doing now. Oh, them kids is something else. They need to see Jesus. They need to see Jesus in us. They need to see the hope of glory in us. Yes. They need to experience the praise and the worship and the prayer and the love and the grace and the mercy that only comes from Christ. Right. That they can see Jesus for themselves. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm done. Has anybody seen Jesus? Have you seen him for yourself? In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I also saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and above them stood the seraphim, each one having six wings. And with two wings they covered their face, and with two wings they covered their feet, and two wings they did fly. And one cried to the other and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the temple moved at the voice of them that cried. Oh, I tell you, it seemed like to me that Isaiah saw Jesus in the midst of it all. John the Revelator said, I was caught up in the spirit on the Lord's day. And he showed me some things to come. Have anybody seen Jesus? Oh, glory to God. I'm going to leave this alone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing us into this new year. If it be your will, God. We have hope. We have dream. We have vision. We have determination, but most of all, we have Jesus. Yes. Job said, I heard about him. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, he said, I was a perfect and upright man, and I feared God, and I shunned evil, and calamity came upon me, and I almost died, and I lost everything. But he got to a point when everything come full circle, and the Lord stepped in and resurrected him. He said, I heard about you with the hearing of the ear. But now I've seen you with my own eyes. We're living in a time where people need to see Jesus for themselves. And we need to be plain and concise in sharing the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you all. God bless y'all. Come on, Pastor Jones, close us out, brother. God bless you. Now, I don't know if this is the right time to bring this up, but right before we close, I want you all to stand. But this Thursday night, we forgot to make mention, is movie night. We got a great movie we're going to share. Sandy and I are screening it now. And I think it's appropriate for this time. It's one of the new Left Behind movies. And so we'll be here 6:30 for fellowship, hot dogs, popcorn. And the movie will start promptly at 7 o'clock. Bring a friend, bring the children, bring someone out. We'll have time of fellowship. God bless you.
Amen. My own, yes. There we go. Well, did we hear the word this afternoon?
Praise God.
Praise God. Have you seen Jesus? Anybody seen Jesus? I can tell you that if you see him, your life will change. You'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's have a word of prayer as we dismiss. Father, this afternoon, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the man of God. We thank you for your word, Lord, for it penetrates. Your word is living, and when it enters our hearts as good seed, good fruit will be born. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, as we end this year, 2023, on a high note. We thank you, Lord, for what you brought us through over the year. We thank you, Lord, you sustained us all the way till today. And Father, we're confident that you're going to take us, if it be your will, to see next year, that you'll sustain us in next year. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you for all that you've done. You proved yourself strong. You proved who you are. You've given us eternal life. You've moved us from darkness into your marvelous light. And as we get ready to leave this place, we go, Lord, with the knowledge that you're with us, because you say you never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, the box on the wall, we thank you for every nickel, every penny, every dime, every quarter, every dollar that is put in there because of the goodness, how you blessed us. We thank you, Lord, for blessing us, Lord, to be a blessing. Lord, use all those monies to your glory, to further the kingdom, to bring souls to salvation in 2024. We thank you today. Bless us as we leave this place. Go before us, prepare the way, keep us in your safety from danger seen and unseen. Thank you, Lord, for touching our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. God bless you.
Can I borrow your patience just for